Hi, I'm Daisy.
Hi, I'm David.
And we're at the MSA Crusaders.
Here we are with another episode of MSA Crusaders. Today with Caroline Stewart and her son Jacob in Australia.
Caroline, hi, Jacob.
Brisbane. Brisbane. Is it Brisbane?
Gold Coast.
Yeah,
very close to Brisbane, though. Yeah.
Okay. Tell us a little bit what you what's in the life of Carolyn Stewart? What did you do before MSA?
The boat work. Look out
Support.
for people with a disability.
Oh,
Abilities.
yeah.
Okay. You worked for the disability in offices and stuff like that? You did paperwork for them?
No, I owned a house, a respite house, and I also did some more work. Went in the other people's houses.
You went to the people's houses.
Yes.
But you worked for the board.
So I look after participants and becoming.
Yeah, so Mum used to go to people's houses who had disabilities and would like help them with day-to-day needs,
Okay.
them out and do activities, and just support them with whatever they needed, like washing the dishes or helping them to get dressed or making them food or making coffee, just day-to-day sort of things that people struggle with.
Okay, Carolyn, so you were like a an aide?
Yeah, kind of.
I
Yeah,
get
kind of.
America, like we call those like social workers and home healthcare workers, things like that. That's something my
Yeah.
daughter's getting into. She's in college for nursing, but she's also applying for a job, or she's actually got the job, but she goes and helps out individuals with disabilities or could be just old age for the government. With what you said, like, it could be brushing teeth, it could be making a bed, helping get dressed, go to the bathroom, things like that. So good for you.
Cooking, things like
Yeah,
that.
thank you.
And then what is it they say? You paid it forward, so now they're paying it forward to you, right? They're helping you out.
Kind of, yeah.
That's awesome. That's what
Okay.
I used to do kind of too on my spare time. I would go and cook meals and visit them and just sit with people sometimes. So just want any somebody to talk to.
Nice.
So how close are you to how close do you guys live to actually to Kangaroo Island?
So Kangaroo Island in South Australia.
South.
They're closer to Sydney,
Island.
right? You're close to Sydney.
Wow.
It's in South Australia. It's actually one of the biggest islands in Australia, third biggest island in Australia. So yeah, there's lots of like farming and agriculture that happens there. My uncle actually is about to go down there and do some work there.
Nice. What
Yeah.
type of work?
He does like trail walks. So yeah, I'm just going there and do like guided tours.
Is it
Yeah.
that is it named after kangaroos? Is there a lot of kangaroos on the island? I mean,
I think there would be. I haven't been there, but just off the name, there I think there's a lot of kangaroos.
I'd hope so. I'd be really disappointed if I went to a chocolate island. There was no chocolate. I'd be really
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
well,
Yeah.
for
So
reference,
big ones there.
that's right by Tasmania. I completely forgot that Tasmania was off the coast of Australia completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to go there, Tabanda.
Really?
Yeah.
What's
Yeah.
nice? What's nice about it?
Tabanda Bay, beautiful.
I hear there's a lot of waterfalls on Tasmania, I
I
believe.
hear it's really cold.
Really?
Yeah,
Oh, we can't
but
go
beautiful.
there to.
Is it summer there now where you are?
Yes. Yeah.
How, what is the temperature like over there?
It's about 34.
That's
Pretty warm.
Celsius, right?
Yeah.
We're right on the border of New South Wales and Queensland. It's been really muggy.
Muggy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 34 is what, probably about 90-ish, almost 100 up here, I think.
Oh, man.
Really? Is it
30? That's over Fahrenheit.
Got to convert that.
Are you looking? So, are you close to Melbourne?
91, yeah.
We're a couple hours plane ride to Melbourne. Plane ride. Yeah. To Melbourne.
Couple hours plane ride to Melbourne, yeah.
What'd you say, it was 94 over there?
91.4. That's pretty muggy.
Is it humid? What kind of a heat is it?
Is it a dry heat, or is it like a very humid and sweaty heat?
It depends.
Does it take your breath away?
Yeah, no, not like that.
Oh, so it's a dry heat. Okay.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
So you can get your hair and curl your hair, and it's not going to fall when you go outside because of the heat, right?
Oh, yeah. But make it go pretty.
Make it go crazy?
Yeah.
You know how to go there, Dizzy.
I don't curl my hair. So, Carolyn, tell me, what did you do for fun for MSA?
Paddleboard and drank.
Amen. Cheers.
I'm very social.
Very social. Very social. Yeah. And since you live close to the beach?
Yes.
Do you like to surf or anything like that?
I like swimming, fishing, camping, paddleboarding, anything outdoors.
Oh, paddleboarding?
Paddleboard.
I never knew how to do it. I never tried that.
Yeah, I don't think I could balance on a paddleboard. I'd be tipping in every single time.
Think over that, the same problem.
Well, she says paddleboarding, but do you paddleboard with the sharks?
I don't know. But better try. Jake can paddle, and I can sit. So, who knows if they can be sharks underneath us?
Did they swim around your boards?
No, not it.
I hope not.
I would not be happy.
Hope not. Excellent.
Okay. Can you tell me, like, what was your first signs or your symptoms when it came to MSA?
My speech, my balance.
Your balance. What year was that started?
Maybe a couple of years ago.
Couple of years ago?
2022. Yeah, I reckon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did the speech go?
Around COVID.
COVID. Yeah, that started in
1921.
Well, for us, it started originally in the end of 2019, like October, November. November, the outbreak started in China, and then early 2020 is when it got to like the States for sure.
About 20, I think. 2020.
Yeah.
And
so did you notice your speech start getting bad quickly?
I don't think so.
No, you don't think so?
You make it, Jacob. Was it quick?
Yeah, pretty quick. The timeline to now, it's gotten a lot worse. Mm-hmm. Pretty quickly. Yeah.
Over the last 3 months, it probably has gone worse.
Yeah. Did you go to the hospital? Did you go to a doctor right away as soon as you noticed your speech, or did you dismiss it to drinking alcohol or being sleepy?
So, yeah, I didn't really think much about it. And I went to my GP, and they said vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forgot about my speech. I forgot to talk to him about my speech. Yeah. And so I went back, and they referred me to a neurologist.
Mm-hmm.
And what about your balance? What about your balance? Did you notice? Were you falling, or were you?
Or were you just tipsy?
I had my first fall the other day.
So you're close to falling every day, or you do fall every day?
I had my first fall the other day.
The other day?
Yeah.
Your first fall was just the other day? You've been really able to catch your balance a lot then since 2020, right?
I've fallen like a couple other times, but not bad.
Not bad, just a couple of other times you fell?
Yeah.
And so you've lucked out then with that, huh?
Sorry?
You've lucked out.
Yeah, very, very, very fortunate that.
I've been lucky.
Yeah. Usually tripping and falling and hurting yourself is like the first and like main feature for a lot of people in MSA.
I had to get some staples in the back of my head because I fell over backwards.
Yeah. Not a terrible, but lucky so far.
That's really good.
Good.
Can you share strategies or coping mechanisms that you've developed to maintain a positive outlook?
I think stuff that helps, like the grab bars and chairs and things like that, you know? So, I'm asking for help, which has been difficult, but they're not used to it.
Does your family get involved with you to keep you happy?
I live with my son, Jacob. He lives upstairs and I live downstairs.
Oh, that's nice.
It's been locked.
So you still have your privacy?
Yes.
That's really good when you live with adult children. Yeah. No, nothing against you, Jacob, but I just know how it is living with my adult children.
Yeah, that's okay.
We gotta get the door.
Now, Jacob, is your mom a bad roommate? Tell us the truth.
Well, I don't want to talk about her behind her back. Nah, she's pretty good.
He said, I'll come back later.
Yeah,
off the record, I will say it's one thing for equals to be together, to take care of each other, like sisters, brothers, but, you know, mother and son, it could be father, daughter. That's the type of love you just don't find everywhere on this earth. So that's really nice to see.
It really is.
To an extent, you know.
That's true. Yeah. I have an adult son that just lived with me for about 4 months. He's in the military, so he is away now. But it got a little chaotic at times.
Yeah.
That wasn't because of him, though. It was because of his significant other.
No. Am I going to edit this out, Daisy?
No, they broke up. It's okay. It's all good.
Okay. Good.
But said pretty funny.
Right?
Have you encountered any difficulties in assessing appropriate health care or support services for your MSA?
I think Australia is really far behind.
Really?
In what way?
Everybody. I have to wait months to the neurologist. Half the time, I know more than the neurologist.
Isn't that horrible? I hate that.
I've got to die before they can autopsy my brain.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do skin biopsies. I went to Zimbabwe and had Jim Zell's. I really don't think that Australia is doing. I think they've got too many barriers, too many loops and hoops.
Yeah, too much red tape, as we say in America. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So, it's kind of like, even over here, my neurologist asked my husband, why does she walk like that? We're like, aren't you the doctor?
Like, Fred Lincoln, have a go.
Now, you mentioned that you saw a neurologist. Now, in America, well, I'm assuming some things with Australia, but did you go see the next higher neurologist, like we say, a movement disorder specialist that specifically can see these things, or did you just see the stereotypical neurologist?
Okay, so I've seen the same six in total, and I have been to a movement disorder specialist, but I think I'll go back to.
Yeah.
I went to Seville and had stem cells after I seen her. So I only seen her once.
Oh, you say you did have stem cells?
I went to Seville and did that. Yeah.
Where did you go?
Seville.
Serbia.
Wow.
Serbia.
Yeah, she went to the capital there.
Oh, and when was this? When did you have it done?
Less than a year ago, last
year.
Have you noticed any improvements because of it?
I don't know, because I tried so many things.
Well, how long ago did you have it done?
A year ago.
January,
isn't it? November, UK, November.
And then come back. So I think it was like January. Come back.
June, your birthday.
May last year. Jacob, have you noticed any differences?
So, yeah, she initially had a bit of extra energy and stuff like that. But other than that, no.
I think I needed to go more than once.
To go more than once.
Oh, more than once. Yeah. What type of stem cells did you have? Did you have the MSCs, or did you have the pluripotent ones?
MSCs.
MSCs, right. So the problem with MSCs is that MSCs are mainly for everything below the brain. MSCs don't repair the brain. Only the next one's up, the pluripotent, the pluripotent, because I had those last year too. The next one's up can actually repair if they want to with the brain. And then the best ones to get are the umbilical ones, but those are very highly controversial. But MSCs are good for like torn ACLs and repairing muscles and helping with organs and things like that, but not the brain. In general.
Have you noticed any more new changes from yours?
I like to say yes. Like I feel like I can move my part of my legs a little bit better. And food for thought, my first DAT scan I had, both of my putamens had no brain activity at all. And when I went to Detroit for the clinical trials, they did another DAT scan. And now it showed my caudate was now falling apart, but my right putamen had half the activity back.
Well, that's a good sign, isn't it?
Yeah. So the question is, is it actually the stem cells, or is it just a difference in technology and testing methods? That's I don't know. So.
And there's something happening in Cuba.
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 Yeah, there's meant to be something happening over Cuba. Yeah, meant to be. I read the last night.
Yeah, I saw a news article about neurodegenerative treatments down in Cuba. I think it was 2 weeks ago. It was on the news. We know some people. Daisy knows some people that actually go down to Argentina.
Actually, she messaged me yesterday. Or actually, it was today. She's had her first infusions done today. But, I'd like to update her. Progresses as we go to. This was just today. She says, this is Lynn. She was on a show a couple of months ago. And she says, had her first infusion today. Things are different than they are in Mexico. Much better. It's more compartmentalized.
Yeah. It's more segregated.
Mm-hmm. Lymphocytes today. Cardio cells tomorrow and neuroactivity cells Wednesday. This is to make it easier on her end to increase absorption, right?
Yeah. So, was it Argentina or Chile?
Argentina.
Yeah. So we had a lady on our podcast a couple months ago who went down to Argentina for a few months for physical therapy. It's all inclusive. Stem cells is very vigorous, and they do a lot of stem cells.
Invisible therapy.
Yeah, so we're kind of watching. Yeah, South America, you know, like you mentioned Cuba. I know it's North America, but you know, Central American countries and South America, they're really good with stem cells. They're a couple of decades ahead of the U.S. So it's definitely something to look and to follow for sure.
Don't look at South America.
Yeah, they have too. Yeah.
Yeah,
but I reckon I didn't do the stem cells for the brain and South America.
They do. The question is the mechanism for delivery, either through the neck or through the nose, you know, through the veins. You know, what type of stem cells? But yeah, no, there are quite a few places in South America, let alone Central America, that perform those procedures. I know of at least 10 of them just in Mexico. I won't vouch for them, but yeah, there's quite a few. But you know, you take that risk if you, but you know, what I'm going to say, it's not really a risk. I don't think so. It's either going to help or it's not. But stem cells take about 6 months to work up to 6 months. So like right now, I'm at my 6 months for mine. So either it's going to help or it's not. You know.
Is it just 6 months now?
Yeah, it just turns out. I got mine done in August 22nd or something like that.
That's right. So what role does advocacy play in raising awareness about MSAC? And what steps do you take to advocate for yourself and others maybe with the condition?
I haven't really done a lot in the last year, but what's the question? About questions, answers. So I wrote them down last time.
Well, yeah. Let me ask you this.
That's trying to find them.
Do you see a lot of like medical information or commercial advertisements, like websites in Australia for MSA?
No, nothing. I can't. In Australia, there's also bloggers that I can really be what I have. So it's hard to find somebody else to add something or support group or anybody that has knowledge.
Are you in the Alliance group on Facebook for the in Australia?
No,
we have one. We'll have to get you connected to them. It's really, really good support groups.
Yeah,
that we can. I need to join Parkinson's support groups.
Yeah, that's what that would sound helpful. I mean, his area, some Parkinson groups.
Yeah,
but we have a defeat. David and I are both on.
I had defeat. I'm on that one.
You're on that one. Okay. Yes. Yeah, Defeat Alliance. David and I are on the board there for them in America, and United for Patient Advocacy.
Yeah. So there's in America, there's really two charities that. Themselves are just for MSA support, and the one that, and they're both great groups, by the way. They're both great groups.
Awesome.
Daisy and myself, we are patient advisors for the MSA Alliance, and they have, just not in America, but they also have, I believe, a total of 8 different countries around the world. Their own.
Australia is one of them.
Yeah, MSA groups and websites. And they do research and events and things like that. So if you just look up MSA Alliance and then Australia, you'll see the group on there.
And yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah,
because I'm last year I done a marathon, and there's a group in Australia that raises awareness.
Danata?
For kids, no, not that one, Mum. I'd done it for a kid who was kidnapped and unfortunately abused and killed. But Mum wanted me to do charity and donate for MSAC, and I didn't really know anyone or any charities who I can donate for. So yeah, if you could put us in contact with somebody, because I would like to raise money this year for in the marathon, because I want to run again.
Absolutely.
For MSAC for Mum, yeah.
And they have a I knew that. I forgot it. They have the MSAC, they call it, that they also, it goes all over the world and helps create awareness, goes to fundraisers. What you do is people put trinkets, like keychains and little just trinkets on the shoe.
Yeah.
Celebrities take pictures of the shoe.
I knew I remember the name. I knew it was something silly. Yeah, msadownunder.org.au. So
I've been there.
Well, we know the founder, so we'll make sure they get back to you.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's all volunteers, so I can imagine.
He's very busy too. He goes all over the world to all the countries.
Yeah, we'll definitely put you in contact with him, and then he can help coordinate with the local resources we have down there. Because there is a support group just in Australia that we are affiliated with that gives like grants and research money, seed money, things like that for projects. So, you know, I don't know where the email went to, but we'll circle back and get you into the right place. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll give you my email or two afterwards, so you can CC me into it as well, because
you sure will.
A couple of months, and I definitely want to support.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I mentioned this a couple of times on other podcasts. Like, I met this guy in very northern Canada with no resources at all, and come find out that the only support group is actually still affiliated with our MSA Alliance, the same group we're talking about, and they have the same thing up in Canada, and we got him in contact with the support network up there, and now he's, you know, getting research and by navigating his way with his journey to MSA, because before he had no resources at all. So, you know,
it's a great thing that we were doing this podcast. We were meeting so many people that definitely need to be on
board.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's really important.
I do too.
Online? Yes. Online, but by the way, no.
No.
Yeah.
It's hard for us to have face-to-face, too. Online, we found the best support. But they say that you'll never meet someone in person, face-to-face, that has MSA if you have it. So.
That's right. I did meet the guy was SAA 42 that got to my gym.
He was 42?
Yes, SAA 42. SAA 42. That was pretty unreal.
You met him face to face?
Yes. At my gym. The gym that I go to.
So one of Mum's supports exercise physiology.
Mm-hmm.
And the gym that she goes to specializes with people with disabilities.
Okay.
And he goes to the gym and uses the facility as well. And him and Mum caught up. And
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Well, he's had for about 20 years. You know, he serves, he drives, and he attributes it all to exercise.
Yeah.
Exercising. Yeah.
It's gotta stay active. You definitely have to stay active. How do you balance self-care with the demands of managing MSAC symptoms?
Kind of, like, from my manual toothbrush to a power toothbrush.
Me too.
You know, grab both. Like, my teeth, I did that a few days ago. So I broke that ball. You got that change, don't you?
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
that was one of the first things I had to do. You just don't have that.
That's what.
Dexterity, you know.
Yes.
Power to scrub.
Fine motor skills, what they call it. Yeah. Fine motor skills. Hardly anything.
Yeah, that's one of the first things that went for me was those fine motor skills. My handwriting, gone.
Yeah, me too. I don't really like those sorts of handwriting and stuff like that. I don't really miss. Except for notes. I'm a note person. I can't write anymore. But use your phone.
Yeah, that's what I have to do. But it hurts to hold my phone for a while.
My phone is freaking heavy. I'm thinking about getting a larger one.
Well, you should just take your son's. I'm pretty sure it's a nice one. That's just something my mom would say. Like, give me yours, Dave. I'm like, oh, I'll give you my nice phone.
I have like a tripod thing that I have to hold my phone in so I can type.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it hurts. It just, my fingers are so sore and they hurt so bad.
Already?
Yeah. David's just starting to hurt him too. I wonder if that's part of P.
MSAP.
This part of P.
I hope it's not a part of P. MSAP. The one thing that's really hard about MSA, because Daisy said it last week, she's like, Dave, your face looks less skinnier or whatever. And my wife's like, my legs, it's the atrophy. It's the weight. So when your brain stops sending or is not sending signals properly all the time, the muscles are not being used as much. Therefore, they start to waste away.
Yeah.
So our bodies our hands, the muscles, they start to waste away, and that's where this pain comes from, is actually that what's called that atrophy. And it's going to happen. I feel bad for people that have ALS because that's like the main thing. That, I mean, it's a lot of bad things, ALS, but that's the biggest one. You talk about painful, the whole body wastes away at the same time, very fast. Like that's tough. So.
But yeah. And it was last week or the week before that, David was asking me about my hands.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it really hurts. I'm right-handed, but I have to hold my phone with my right hand sometimes. Just take a break from holding it with the left hand.
Daisy, I'm sure, you know, everybody that reads your books and listens to your podcast would say, if you stop slapping your husband around, you know, your hands would not hurt so much.
Bad.
That's hilarious.
Sometimes I just did that.
Now I'm hitting the wall. Oh, my bed's right next to the wall, so I guess I'm hitting the wall.
What? Caroline, do you have like blood pressure issues? Like, is that an issue?
No, I don't think so. I'm pretty healthy, and my cerebellum that isn't
healthy.
That's okay. That's allowed.
I want to ask you, did you have an MRI or a CAT scan? What does that
mean? I did. That movement disorder suspected. That suspected sent me for another MRI. And it showed too much on the brain.
Yeah.
Before we went to the cerebellum.
So then it was shrinkage of the cerebellum?
Yeah. Yes. She said, the iron had a grease.
Iron?
Well, what's that word she's saying, Jacob?
Iron.
Oh, southern iron. Yeah, the buildup of alpha-synuclein protein, which is the iron on the brain. Yeah, they can see that as they look for it with certain chemicals.
Yes.
Yeah. they also MRI the brains to see if it's shrinking, like the matter between, like for mine, the putamen and the caudate, you'll see the shrinkage inside the cavities. So MRIs are really good for. So MRIs, if you can see that, you know exactly what's being affected. But not everybody's brains start to shrink at once. So yeah, that's good though.
Yeah.
Yeah, we We went up to a place called Harvey Bay to see a specialist. He specialized in ataxia, didn't he? So, yeah, we went and seen him probably about a month and maybe, about a month, maybe less.
January.
Yeah, we went and seen him. And
they said the same thing.
They say that they can't like diagnose MSAC, but he said that, you know, most of all of the signs are pointing like towards MSAC, but he can't say 100% that it is.
Yeah, there's no, and no doctor is going to give you 100%, because if they did, they're lying. Even my doctors say it's 95% MSAP, but there are so many rare disorders that can overlap to cause it. You know, like my doctor says, you know, because I'm 44, like when I got it, I was 42, 41. And people that young and healthy don't get those overlapping diseases that early. So, yeah, there's never 100% sure MSA out there, unfortunately.
How old were you, Caroline, when you first started having symptoms?
Maybe 51.
So that's still young, too.
That's ahead of the curve, yeah.
What's really weird is I haven't really had any testing for my, but even though I'm diagnosed with MSAP, they found my cerebellum had shrunk.
Yeah.
MRI.
Yeah, that's from the MRI.
Yeah, I mean, there's diseases, like there's a disease called cerebral ataxia, you know, that could be, look like MSA, but all the other symptoms like autonomic issues, you know, blood pressure and stuff like that, compounding of definitely would say MSA. So, yeah, that's hard, you know, because we got some family members in Mexico, that my wife's from Mexico originally, and they just don't want to test down there. Like you go to a doctor and you're dying, like you're literally on your deathbed, and they're like, go home and die. It's you know, not all of Mexico, but you know, it's so hard to get testing and the proper testing, the X-rays, because it's a lot of money. She went to a main city hospital, and they said you need to get a PET scan, but that hospital doesn't do PET scans. She's got to go across the country, the other side of Mexico, to find one hospital that can do a PET scan. You know, it's tough. Australia, you know, most people in Australia live on the coast because inside this desert, but you know, if they don't have it on the east, you gotta go to the west. You gotta go somewhere, you know, really far away that has institutionals like colleges and schooling that has all these research facilities. Yeah. You know,
yeah. And it's so often for us that we get diagnosed with this disorder, but yet we're not diagnosed with it.
Have they mentioned like possible, like the word possible MSA or probable?
Once probable.
You have MSA, yeah. I like the balloons. Hey. Yeah. So the hard part about talking to people about MSA is they talk about possibly having MSA. No, possibly is not possible. Is actually the term. There's three types of MSA. There's possible, probable, and definitive. Definitive, they call it. So, you know, it's like one of those things where it's like, when you read possible in your doctor's notes, is the doctor saying possible MSA or it's possible you have MSA?
I know, right?
All probable.
Yeah, probable. Yeah. Mine went from all probable. I've never had a possible. They're all probable from the beginning. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's how mine were. It's like, well, do I or don't I?
Yeah, right. Yeah, first time I saw possible, like possibly what? Like, is it or is it not? Caroline, have you thought of or wanted to participate in any clinical trials, either in Australia or other parts of the world?
I am for sure. That wouldn't let me. I said what they for wouldn't let me.
They wouldn't let you?
Sorry?
You said they would not let you participate?
No.
Why not?
Because I didn't say in my report.
Oh.
What could be? I didn't have the P.
Yeah.
They only want paid.
So this is gonna hurt and it sucks, but MSAP is much more closely aligned with Parkinson's. By the way, the medical community is thinking about separating MSAP and C because they sound similar, but they're really not the same as like generic MSA. But research.
Yeah, but there is a girl in America with that C, same in the B, and she doesn't.
Yeah, it depends. You know why they want P though. They want P because if they find a therapy or cure, quote unquote, a treatment for MSAP, that can almost translate directly over to people that have Parkinson's. So that money that they can make is much more. But MSAC, even though it's Eastern Hemisphere, you know, there's not much upside like having something for MSAP and Parkinson's at the same time. It's unfortunate.
Not as many people, like MSAC and MSAP. Is that what you mean?
So MSAP is a Western Hemisphere, mostly predominant Western Hemisphere. MSAC is predominantly Eastern, so east of Europe, Asia, China, Australia, things like that, right? But more people have MSAP. It's definitely more prominent across the entire world. Like in America, MSAP is 75% of all cases. MSAC is very few over here.
It's like 84% is P.
Yeah, it's very high. Now, we're going to have both of them, right? I mean, we all have both. But when you first start off, it's either one or the other. So that's unfortunate. So you're not thinking about trying to get any more trials?
I would try for sure.
Okay.
But I don't want them.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, the ones in America, they want American residents. But there's none in Australia.
I don't know about that, David. Can they try to apply for ones in America?
Well, they can. You can apply for trials in other countries. The question I think she might be running up against too is, here they'll pay for Americans everything, flights, hotels, food, whatever. But I don't know if that still applies to overseas. Like if you come from Australia, if they're like, hey, you got to pay your own ticket, and then we'll do it. Like I don't know. I imagine they want you to visit like 12 times a year at least to follow up on the visits. They want you for 3 years. So I guess I could understand why coming from Australia to the U.S. might be more problematic with trips. Yeah. I mean, I could see that, I guess. But
never hurts to try.
Yeah, for sure.
All they can do is say no, right?
That's right.
Well, they have twice, unfortunately. But, you know, I would try anyway. I would keep trying because we have about 20 in the United States. Really good. We got 80, but 20 of them are really good clinical trials. There's a few in the UK.
But even I myself really have difficulty finding anything here in the US. They say that I'm too progressed for the trials.
Yeah, you can only have it for so long. Symptom onset, progression, things like that. Caroline?
That's sad.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's very sad.
I mean, your son is right next to you, and the fact that he's spitting facts and he knows what's going on in your life and medical life is very fascinating. That says that
he's doing research.
Yeah, we don't have to even question his loyalty and interest in you, you know, with MSA, because it's there. But how do you approach people about this disease, even family and friends? Like how does this come about where you explain to them, you know, what's going on with you?
I think Jacob comes it all.
Hey, well, sometimes clarity is the best, you know.
The closest people I think hear more than the body.
Good. Do they understand what you're talking about?
No.
No. Yeah, no.
So yeah. What's the bun?
I was just checking real quick. There are three clinical trials in Australia. currently recruiting. Phil had mentioned that one medicine, Rizdiplam. Yeah.
Ben?
There's another one, DYNE251, and something coordination of rare diseases at Stanford. Looks like a historical one, but yeah, there's two right now recruiting in Australia. It's interesting because now on our website, if you go to clinicaltrials.gov for the United States, it shows around the whole world. And actually some of these are for MSA, but they're also for spinal muscular atrophy. And they kind of envelop themselves into the same thing, but you'll get a lot more results looking on like government websites for sure in the future.
Do you have any other children, Caroline?
I have a daughter. I saw another daughter.
Did your daughter come around and help you out?
She lived like 3 hours away.
Oh.
Yes, she does.
Do you see her much?
Quite often, yeah.
That's true.
Does she go paddleboarding too?
Sorry?
Does she paddleboard too?
She rides horses.
She rides horses.
That's okay. Have you made any changes? Now, obviously, your son visits you and upstairs, you know, because that's where the boys like to be, upstairs in the room, right? We don't like to be downstairs. So, sorry, the PlayStation, the Xbox. Have you made any other changes besides, obviously, your loving son helping you? Like, have you made any physical changes to the house, going from two-story to one-story, or alterations to bathrooms, anything like that?
Modifications.
My house, I did. Here, we just moved here in October last year.
Okay.
The garbage, the toilet, and the shower.
Got handles in there?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it, baby.
Good. You're still doing pretty good then. That's very good. I mean, I don't have anything special on mine also. I've had about 3 years, so I'm at the point where I'm thinking about it.
You still have a walk around by yourself?
Yeah. Oh, Caroline?
Yeah.
Sorry?
Are you still able to walk around good by yourself?
No, I walk around, but I always have my little walker or wheelchair.
Okay. Or you're like a pinball machine. Like a pinball machine, like let the walls bounce you off.
Yeah, pretty much like that. I shuffle a lot.
You know, I'm gonna say something here. I think she does so well because Caroline, I don't want to sound self-centered here. I'm like her. Like, we're both very active in what we did before. Like, me in sports, like you mentioned paddleboarding. Just a paddleboard, you got to have coordination and great balance. You know, so that stuff actually helps out in the long term. When we had diseases like this, we're able to, I don't want this to sound bad, but we're able to last longer with our balance and coordination because, you know, we're used to that type of stuff.
I did yoga.
What do they call those? All the poses they got. Yeah, I can't do yoga. I fall over.
I would put my knees up over my shoulders and stand up.
Yeah, yoga is the bend a bit good.
I put my legs over my head one time. I was high jumping and I broke my back. So I'm not going to do that again.
I watched a video just 2 days ago of me doing it. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I was doing that 5, 6 years ago.
Caroline, yeah. you still do some exercises?
Yeah, I do. I go to the gym twice a week and I do hydrotherapy
once
a week.
Good.
What are you doing there?
What? At the gym or hydrotherapy?
The hydrotherapy, what do they do?
Walk in the water?
Oh, like
I love her face. Like, what do you think? It's aqua. Like, what do you think we're gonna do? Like
aquatic therapy here, right?
work on my coordination, my balance.
Got you.
That's the biggest tips.
I go to aquatic therapy too for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Do you have a treadmill in the water?
Not yet. But you have to walk downstairs to get in the water.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's not as easy as you think it would be, is it?
No.
I put the idea at the time, but when I get home, I can build a bed there.
Good. Move better afterwards.
Me too.
Yeah,
don't Caroline, don't put the treadmill in the ocean. You know, those sharks are not going to want to walk with you. So, you know, just.
I like her face. I was like, what do you do there?
Fresh water only, Caroline.
Like, what do you think I do?
now, coming from Australia, by the way, I'm assuming you guys are born and raised in Australia.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, actually, I was born in New Zealand.
New Zealand. We just interviewed a gentleman last week who's from New Zealand. So that's this Friday. You can listen to his podcast.
Yeah.
Ah. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
He looks like Sean Connery, and I swear he's Scottish. I swear. But New Zealand. Yeah. That's awesome. Now, are there any misconceptions about MSA? Now, obviously, nobody knows about MSA, no matter where you go. I don't care if it's Australia, New Zealand, or America. But, right, are there any misconceptions about the MSA as you're, you know, going about your medical treatments? Like, one thing we don't say over here is we don't say MSA because people think we have MS or multiple sclerosis.
I know, right?
All the time.
You have to say multiple system atrophy, don't you?
Because there is a difference.
Yeah. There's a huge difference.
MSA.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
MSA is not a terrible disease.
Other therapy, right?
Hey?
It's like walking a treadmill in the air versus the water. Yeah, it's that clear.
Right? Yes.
What future plans do you have? I mean, any special trips, any things you want to do? Because the question is honest and sincere, right? Like, I have very limited time to keep walking in my personal life, and I'm trying to get as many trips as I can with my family before I can't walk anymore. not yet. Do you have any future plans, something like that, coming up?
Did we plan to go back to New Zealand?
Nice.
Want to come to America?
You're welcome in Texas.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'd love to go to Montana.
Montana's beautiful.
Nobody wants to go to Montana. For what's in Montana? Mountains?
Beautiful scenery.
Yellowstone?
Only a person on the coast of Australia that sees nothing but sand wants to come up to Montana. That's okay. Well, we'll have you.
And Florida, baby.
There you go, Florida. I like you now. If you get to America, you'll have a place to stay at my house. If you get over here,
thank you.
I'll save you some money.
what's your sound, Caroline?
I want to stay walking the bird long as I can. And I want to talk.
Yeah.
Me too.
But you don't get back to really well.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, he has your moments.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I think I talk good and then I hear people like, what? I hear that all the time. What did you say? Speak up.
Well, they don't say that to me.
They don't.
No.
Can you speak up?
No. Jacob
knows better. You get swatted across the house. Like, stop it. Yeah. I imagine Jacob has become much of a mind reader more than anything else with this disease. Because my wife and my kids, I don't like it when they say something, they're like, huh? Or I got to repeat myself. Nobody likes doing that. But my kids, I'll say something and my wife and kids will sit there and they're like, They'll think like together, like, what did he say? And they'll go with an answer, even if it's wrong, and they'll do something. It's like, so, yeah.
That bad bull. So
I have that bull.
It is. It is.
I have the same problem.
I'm going to start doing sign language at some point.
But they've that burned off, not just saying sign language.
So, but Caroline, where do we go from here? I mean, what's next? I mean, we know what's next, but before, what's next?
A girl would be good.
Absolutely. Oh, and Jacob, if you are, you said you definitely want to get some, the word's leaving me here, but advocacy for MSA down the road this year or something. If you are, please try, we'll get you, like I said, we'll get you in contact with Bill. And let us help and try to support you the best we can and give it a go, because it starts with one person, one family. I mean, I'm not as useful as I used to be, but my YouTube channel is nothing but MSA. And, you know, my next step is trying to get out there in public and do things too. So, you know, when you decide to do that, please look us up and get in contact with us. And we definitely want to participate and try to help out as much as possible for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no. Thank you. Yeah, I'm running the marathon this year, so I'm definitely going to donate to whoever is.
I can't run a marathon.
Yeah.
I support you.
He can run a marathon.
I bet.
He could do it.
What is a marathon like? 13 miles?
Okay.
Hi.
Marathon's what, about 13 miles?
Yeah.
What do you do, kilometers?
I don't know about miles. But it's 42.2 kilometers.
Yeah, it's like 2-point-something conversion, so about half, less than half, yeah.
I have a friend that did a 21-mile.
Yeah, that's a marathon, I think.
I could walk a mile. Does that count?
I can't. Yeah.
It does, though, because, you know, when you have
what
mom has or whatever, yeah, it's a lot harder, so, you know. Mom tries to go for a walk. You know, a couple times a week, and she told me, you know, me going for a walk this far is probably equivalent to doing a long distance for somebody else.
You mentioned Carver Dupalivido, but Caroline, did you react positively to any of the medicines they would traditionally give for Parkinson's, like cinnamon, Carver Dupalivido?
They haven't given me any.
They give you no Parkinson's medicines?
No.
They didn't even try.
I tried that. Super, I had the Pembro.
Yeah.
And I had my walking. But that won't give it there in Australia.
Wow.
Have you ever tried to ride a bicycle?
No, I haven't tried.
That would be a good balance exercise, wouldn't it?
Don't get her hurt.
Daisy,
stop it.
I don't know, that just popped in my head.
She's going to be riding down the boardwalk, and then MSA's going to kick in and go straight to the beach to the sharks. Like, ah!
Yeah.
I want to get to Australia. That's a beautiful place.
Me too.
Anything, Jacob or Caroline, you would like to add or say, I mean, about anything, shout-outs, words of inspiration for others?
I just want to say I'm so proud of my mom. Like, you know, it must be so hard for her to go through this. And, like, I draw so much inspiration from her because she's so positive, even though she's gone through such a tough time in her life. She's always smiling and happy. I think, you know, laughter is a good medicine, and my mum always is laughing or making a joke. So I think, you know, as hard as it is, should try and stay positive. Yeah.
Amen. I've said the same thing to my family and friends. I said, I've accepted it. I can't change it. So, you know, we either stay positive like Caroline and make those around us happy and hopeful, or we get into depression and sad and angry and we take others down with us.
I was trying to make it without crap.
Almost. We will let this one go just because Jacob had some very loving words to say.
I know, wasn't that so sweet? Caroline, you're blessed.
I've been lucky. Yeah.
Now, Jacob, do you bring her food and prepare things for her, or do you force her to do things still?
It's a bit of both.
Good. Good.
No. Well, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Are you still able to cut your food up, Caroline?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
That's good, really good.
Yeah. If not, we got Jacob.
We're very lucky in Australia. Yeah. They have a scheme called the National Disability Insurance Scheme. And it's for people with disabilities. It could be, you know, something as serious as mum, or it could be like for, you know, someone with PTSD or kids with autism. But it's basically the government will give you a pool of money to have all the different supports in place. So we're very lucky in that sense that our government helps. So mum has a support worker, which helps out with like day-to-day tasks. And then she has a physio, an exercise physiologist. She has a dietitian that's coming on board soon. She has a psychologist, an OT, occupational therapist, so a speech pathologist. So, like, we're very lucky with that. And without that, you know, I wouldn't be able to live my life the way that I do right now. I support my mum maybe 3 to 4 hours per day during the week, and then on the weekends we normally just hang out together. So without that NDIS, you know, it would be very hard and difficult for me. So we're pretty lucky in Australia. I don't know if you have something similar to that in America, but we're very lucky to have that here in Australia because it would be very hard for us.
Yeah, most countries don't have anything like that. America does, you know, most Europeans do, but like we interviewed,
like our disability,
was that, yeah, like Medicaid, Medicaid, Medicare, things like that. Yeah. That lady we interviewed from China, well, she's Asian, but Lynn, I think it was, and
Chewy.
Yeah, Chewy, there you go, Chewy. And you know, like if you're Chinese or certain Asian countries and you have an infirmity, you have a disability, you're an outcast. Like your family disowns you just for having something like MSA or Parkinson's or anything like that. If you have a mental handicap or something, like you're literally disowned by your own family. So yeah, it's very fortunate that
we're very fortunate.
Yeah, countries have programs like that. I know he said schemes, but you know, programs to be able to facilitate this, and that's wonderful. It is.
I just wish that we could give some money to go hike, go knock some stuff off of your bucket list.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yes.
Montana.
Australia.
You know, I'm in America, and I don't want to go north. I don't want to go see anything farther north than us. I want to see nice, warm beaches. That's all I want to see. Warm weather.
That's me.
Florida will provide that.
Yes, Miami. Well, yeah, actually, in next month, we're going back to Europe. Probably be one of my last trips that I can fully walk unassisted. But we decided to go back to the UK, Ireland, and Scotland. So it'll be pretty chilly and rainy up there, but we're going to give it a go and see what happens. But yeah, travel, even if it's going to a park, going to the mall, the store, right, friend's house, whatever. I mean, it's I'm not made of money, but doing something is better than nothing, that's for sure.
Yeah, my daughter's going to hopefully, after she gets finished with school for truck driving, she's going to have a beach wedding.
Ooh, you say truck driving?
She's going to school for truck driving.
Nice.
For Walmart.
Don't pick a fight with her. Nope. Excellent. Well, Caroline and Jacob, it was a pleasure having you. Your story is amazing.
It really is.
Love from mother to son. I mean, you remind me of my mom. I would like to think I was as loving to my mom as Jacob is to you.
It's sweet.
You know, It doesn't get easier from here. It only gets worse. But, you know, having that bond already, it makes everything a lot easier down the road. And I would say I appreciate you too.
Yeah. Thanks. And just that, you know, we're all MSA Crusaders. We couldn't get this alone. So.
And it's an army.
It's really good to talk to y'all. And I hope y'all have a wonderful evening.
You too.